Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, if you are somebody who's ever met Jeannie Buss and are not currently being consulted on who should be the next head coach of the Lakers, well, gosh darn it, you should be offended. We'll explain why next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. Sometimes on weekends, we get this thing up for you bright and early. So no matter where you are, what you're doing, how you get your podcasts, we have Lakers content for you. Of course, Locked On Lakers is where you go to get this early. It posts earlier than the audio version. So if you just can't wait, you need your fix. Well, this is how you do it. Run it back free agent news, which we'll try to get back to before the end of the show regarding members of the team that want to return to the Lakers next year. But first, Andy, the news, it is, it's still centered around the coaching search. And we learned, on Tuesday, I guess, that, Phil Jackson, he's part of the consulting team.
Yeah, that is,
helping Jeannie Buss make this big choice.
That's something that has been talked about before. It's not necessarily a big surprise, but on one of the ESPN shows, Adrian Wojnarowski said, quote, "This is very much a committee in LA putting together this coaching search, and one person who is certainly significantly involved in this process is Phil Jackson. He's got a voice in this. He did last time when they hired Frank Vogel. He and Kurt Rambis. Vogel is somebody they had considered with the Knicks before hiring Derek Fisher in New York. There, being the Lakers are moving deliberately, they're not doing 7 or 8 or 9 candidates all at once. They're kind of going down a list and taking their time with it. I think the process is going to take a bit." Woj did not clarify that they have to take their time and go slowly because Phil is old. And you know, Phil has a difficult time keeping with the modern NBA pace. That is not, just in case I'm just saying in case people were concerned, like, hey, is Phil anchoring him? No, this is not Phil being dead weight. This is just the way they want to do it.
It's not an outdated search, like the triangle is outdated as an offense or something like that.
No, I'm saying this is the way the Lakers want to do it. They are not specifically missing out on potential candidates because of Phil. Just so you know.
Well, here's the thing. Actually, I will, we're being snarky. But I will say,
Phil is old.
Right, no, he is.
That's true.
You guys went to high school together though, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a good student. So great to hang out with in the quad.
It was.
So I will give the Lakers, they don't need to go quickly. There are 3 openings right now. One of them belongs to the Charlotte Hornets, who also don't seem to be going particularly quickly. The other one is in Sacramento, where they do seem to be going quickly, and much to the happiness of Lakers fans, are zeroing in on at least one candidate in Mark Jackson that Lakers fans don't want them to hire and reportedly is not a candidate of serious interest anyway. So they don't have any real reason to go fast. If there were 7 or 8 or 9 openings like there was last year, they'd need to hurry, but they don't have to this time.
Well, there's also two. There is nobody on the market right now where you're like, you got to grab that guy because he will be gone. Like, for example, and in retrospect, perhaps the enthusiasm over the guy I'm about to name was overstated, but when the Lakers hired Luke Walton, he was considered a hot coaching hire. He had been part of a very successful Golden State Warriors team. There was that period where he took over.
When you say, you mean hot, like he was sought after, not just handsome.
Well,
which a lot of people say that Luke Walton is just real cute. My wife
mom found him dishy.
Yeah.
And then she became very distraught when she noticed that he was losing his hair. Well, this is not a joke, by the way. Mom actually at one time
she seemed more upset by Luke losing his hair than either of us.
Yes. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, beyond the whole, you know, I guess in some type of perfect world fantasy, she can go after Luke and can't go after us.
It's true.
Like, that, you know, like she can harbor a certain, you know, what if I was just whisked away by and entered the Walton family that she just can't entertain with her sons, thank God. Like, but you know, I think ever since
the whole conversation was weird.
Everything
about that last minute was weird.
I'm clarifying. It's true. Why?
I'm glad.
Look, Mom, I've talked about this before on Twitter. I don't know how often for a podcasting audience, but Mom is actually a Laker fan. She's somebody mm-hmm. that can only follow so much from St. Louis as somebody who can barely, you know, operate her cable TV service. It's difficult. But she has loved the Lakers going back to like the Kobe Shaq and then Kobe Powell days, which included Luke Walton, and she always found him cute. Mm-hmm. So this is something that's gone on a while, which is why she was disparaged over his hair.
Distraught. Yeah, I mean, I even asked Mitch Kupchak at the time when they hired him. Like,
I was initially going with this.
Did they make that move because belief that Luke would not be available if they waited longer? If they, you know, they fired Byron quicker than they might have otherwise because they wanted to get Luke. Mm-hmm.
Which Mitch confirmed.
Right. He did. He said yes. That was his answer. That nothing like that is there this year, including, like you say, the sort of overwhelming candidate that you'd want. The only name that is there is Quinn Snyder, who still is yet to fully clarify whether he wants to come back to Utah. The Jazz have made it abundantly clear they're not going to fire him. Change may be coming to the organization this offseason, but it's not going to be because they let go of Quinn. It would only be because Snyder wants to leave that gig. That said, reporting from Jake Fisher at Bleacher Report is that Quinn Snyder wouldn't really be interested in the Lakers job were it available, were it offered to him anyway. So
yeah, it would be, I would imagine, in part because you're looking at the uncertainty with the team right now and the setup of it and where everything's headed. Also, he reportedly did not like the way the Lakers treated Frank Vogel on the way out and the whole fiasco with the Woj bomb before Frank Vogel was officially notified of anything. The whole "I haven't been told bleep" post-game remark, all of that stuff, which, you know,
actually told the next day, Andy.
Well, look, if you're... if you're somebody like
that answer still, I mean, Frank Vogel was factually told this morning.
This was from Rob Pelinka.
At his exit interview.
Who also said that they don't respond to unsourced media reports that just happen to be dead on accurate, describing 100%. Everything ahead of time, exactly how it laid out. But other than Snyder, and I guess Nick Nurse, were he to be let go by the Raptors or the Raptors willing to trade him to the Lakers, there's that rumor. And that rumor is connected, by the way, in some respects to Phil Jackson and his involvement with the organization. There is nobody right now that you would say you have to pounce on this opportunity to get him right this second, or he is definitively gone.
Right. And so, you know, we talked on Tuesday's show a lot about process. And I am very interested in what the Lakers do and really more how they go about it. This aspect of it, in terms of the speed at which they go, I think they have an opportunity here to go real slow, figure out exactly how they want to do it, get all the proverbial ducks in a row, make sure all their stakeholders are in agreement over who they want to hire. And that is to their benefit, and they seem to be doing it that way, which is good. But the question I have for you, Andy, is, is it a good thing that Phil Jackson is part of this decision-making tree? And so we'll ask that question to you next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. Eating smart, but also eating enjoyably. It has never tasted better. You're able now to treat yourself in the year 2022 without feeling guilty. If you've not tried the Puffs, for example, you are missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars.
Please tell me more about them. What?
Well, Brian, since you asked, they are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. I know. Amazing. I would have never even thought of doing something like that, much less even thought that it was possible. But here we are again, 2022. Science. They are fluffy. They are not just a protein bar. They're a treat covered in 100% real chocolate. They've got awesome flavors like cinnamony churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. All of them are going to feel like your new favorite. And again, they are covered in 100% real chocolate. But unlike a typical candy bar, which has that chocolate, but anywhere from 200 to 300 calories minimum, most Built bars, they're just 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, but 17 grams of protein. And that is the good stuff. They're always putting out cool, original, unique flavor combinations. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at built.com.
I mean, I get it. Like, on the one hand, if you told me that, hey, you know, Jeannie gave Phil a shout, you know, you have access to Phil Jackson, you know, he's certainly somebody who knows a lot about basketball. You know, we'll run a name by him. What do you think of this guy? Or you used to work with X, Y, or Z. What do you think? The idea that you're going to lean on him, though, even I understand he's Phil Jackson, but he doesn't work for the organization. He's not he's not deeply connected to the league, as far as I know, any meaningful way right now, other than just being Phil Jackson. Instead of having all these randos, well-known randos, but randos who aren't in your organization as part of the process, why not build out your basketball ops department and actually have a group of people who are in your employ make this decision for you?
Well, Brian, there are two expressions I'm going to throw out to you that might answer the question. Are you familiar with the term on the arm?
I am not.
On the arm is another phrase for on the house. Like if something comes to you on the house, like if you're somebody important and you go to a restaurant and your meal is comped, they would say it's on the arm. It's an expression. It's on the arm. Another expression, Brian, you might be aware of, friend prices. Have you heard the expression friend prices?
I have.
That's like if, say, there's a service that you require, and if you go to just a stranger, whatever, outlet, company, whatever, law firm, yada, yada, they will charge you a certain amount of money. However, if you happen to have a personal friend that you could go to for the same service, they might give you a discount, a friend price. Some really good friends might say, you know what? It's on the arm.
Okay, so let me stop you here. You tell me if I'm on the right track based on what you're telling me now.
This is all speculative, by the way.
What I'm guessing is what you are theorizing is that the Lakers, with access to Magic Johnson, got a little Phil Jackson here and there.
Well, I mean, they already paid that guy. He wasn't on the arm.
Choosing. That state of this should go back and ask Byron what he thinks. Are choosing to go this avenue because it costs them significantly less money than building out their basketball operations department like any normal franchise would.
It's a theory. It's a theory.
I am understanding your implication correctly.
It's a theory. This is speculative. I have never asked anybody if specifically this is why. I just assumed the reason was Jeannie only consults with people that she's known for like 25 years. Sometimes the simplest answer might be the correct one. However, they may also be the people that charge her the least.
I was about to say, they are not mutually exclusive.
No.
This is going to sound stupid, Andy. I understand. It's going to sound dumb. I hadn't thought of that. Like, you know, and we've spent a lot of time over the years, I don't mean just, you know, this season or whatever, over the years, pointing out places where the Lakers, for all of their billions of value and, you know, high on the marquee and, you know, jersey sales and this and that, and there's documentaries, like 12 documentaries about the Showtime Lakers are out right now and all that. They don't spend a lot of money. They don't pay their support staff particularly well. They nickel and dime head coaches and assistant coaches alike. While they will often spend on payroll, they still sometimes will make financially based decisions. We saw a lot of that this year. I probably should have been more thinking of, hey, that advice is free. than I was. And I'm a little embarrassed that it didn't occur to me. Even as a working theory.
Right. I cannot emphasize this enough. This is not something I know for a fact. And in all the different things that I've asked about with the front
office. It's not a K-bomb.
Right. Exactly. Like, I don't know this. I'm just saying it's something that in thinking about this more today, it was something that dawned on me as perhaps a guiding reason in all this. And look, I mean, there is an irony to Woj pointed out in his report that Phil had been a voice in hiring Frank Vogel, he and Kurt Rambis, when they were both with the Knicks, when Phil was the president of basketball ops for the Knicks. They had gone after, or at least considered going after, Frank Vogel before they eventually decided.
I forgot Kurt was with Phil in New York, right?
Oh, yeah. Kurt,
see why you want to get that band back, Ryan, together.
Kurt replaced Derek Fisher. Yeah. Fisher got fired.
You see why you get that. That is a brain trust you want to keep together.
And, you know, there is a certain irony with the idea of Phil was one of the proponents of Frank Vogel, and the organization clearly was never sold on Frank Vogel because he won a title two seasons ago and they fired him. So let's go back to all the people who decided on the coach that we just got rid of. This gets back to something that I've always said about the setup here, which is that in a vacuum, going to somebody like Phil, fine. Like, you know, you might be like, oh, really? Like, why you're really going back to that well again? He hasn't been connected to the league, like you said, Brian. But you know what? Fine. He's still Phil Jackson. He's somebody that still knows the game. Going to Magic Johnson, sure, might seem a little bit weird considering he left you high and dry in the most public fashion possible, and kneecapping the organization, and will often go out of his way to publicly badmouth the organization depending on who he's feuding with that week. But you know what? He's Magic, you know, like, and you've known Magic a long time. Like Kurt Rambis, Linda Rambis, like all these people individually might be a little bit, that's a little unusual, but in a vacuum, okay, fine, whatever. If they were part of a normal, conventional, more diverse setup for your front office, it's that it's always within the bubble. Mm-hmm. That's what gives you concern about the people surrounding Genie. It's not them all individually. It's really the collective.
If you feel like you need more voices, go hire more voices. Build the department so you have more voices. It's worrisome in part because the decision-making track record that they've been relying on over the last decade is not very good. And it's not all the people that you just mentioned, but it's not all them either.
You know, I'm always wondering.
I'd feel better if there was like a long string of Magic Johnson making great choices, or Phil Jackson making great choices, or Linda and Kurt making great choices.
Rob Pelinka making great choices.
Great choices. Go expand the room a little bit. The other question I have for you,
or be more inclusive really quickly to Jesse and Joey Buss, who seem to
make good decisions. Yeah, right.
They seem to really know what's up, and you never hear about them gaining more power and stature.
Right, but with Phil, like, okay, it's Phil Jackson, but the last decade of like Phil Jackson is not filled with like, wow, what a brilliant move that was, or like from a managerial standpoint, or a team running standpoint, that did not go well in New York. So, yeah. You know, okay. I'll ask you, I got one more question on this, and we can go to the do a little free agency bingo here.
I also have two quick things that I want to workshop off you in terms of why Phil could potentially at least be involved.
Oh, just well, we'll do all that. I'm very excited for the third segment now. Let's do that next. You mentioned that you had a couple ideas that you wanted to workshop.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you're looking for a glass half full version of Phil's involvement, he does have a direct connection with Nick Nurse. He's somebody that's done some mentoring with Nurse a few years ago. They spent time together, I think in Montana or wherever Phil has, I imagine, more than one ranch, but you know, one of those woodsy areas, and there is that type of relationship between them. So Phil might have some insights about what it would take to make this situation appealing enough that Nick Nurse would force his hand and really try to get himself to the Lakers. Or you know, that maybe Phil could just work some Zen master BS and like hypnotize Nurse into wanting this thing. Cause remember Meta told us, Phil can whisper into your ear from a distance. Mm-hmm. You can hear Phil.
I could understand the Lakers saying, "Hey Phil, we'd love to get Nick Nurse. We'd love to go. Can you give him a call? Put in a word here. You know, convince him that maybe things are better here than they look." They don't need Phil to put Nick Nurse on their list or convince them that that would be a good idea, do they? Like when no. You say Phil's got that connection to Nick Nurse and he's advising them on their coaching search, that in the context of Nick Nurse, that should mean, hey, can you help us get him? Or like, if there's a 1 in 100 chance, can you bump that to a 3 in 100 chance for us? They don't need him to put Nurse on the list, right?
No, I mean, I'd like to think if I can identify Nick Nurse as somebody that you should bring in if you can, that they can do that without Phil's help. Okay, let me ask you this before you get to the question you wanted to run by me.
Mm-hmm.
Given how there's always these reports of, you know, an up and down dynamic between the Lakers side of the organization and the LeBron clutch side of the organization, is it, if not too much to read into, certainly a bit unusual that Genie would be reaching out to somebody like Phil that LeBron and Clutch may still not be very fond of?
That was my question, actually, okay. Was what do you make of the LeBron part of this? Because for people who don't remember, there was the whole dust up over LeBron referring to Rich Paul and the rest of LeBron's...
Phil referring to LeBron
and Rich Paul and the rest of that brain trust as LeBron's posse, which rightly that group found to be sort of belittling and demeaning of what they've actually accomplished and their role and their relationship to LeBron.
Racially loaded.
Among other things. So that soured some of that relationship, reportedly maybe helped even keep LeBron from even considering going to New York and any of these other things. I'm curious about that. Like I don't mind that they're going to people that would be considered clutch opponents. I actually think that's a good thing. I don't think it's an example of them sort of wrestling control back from that group if they've lost it. Because it's Phil. It's not other people. It's not like they brought in two non-Clutch guys or people that Clutch might have tough relationships with or something to sit in the front office as paid front office people with Rob Pelinka in the basketball ops department. This is just her leaning on her old boyfriend to give her bad. I mean, again, it's Phil Jackson. There's no harm in doing it, but I don't necessarily think a fan should connect those dots in the way that you were asking.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing, though, about that in terms of the wrestling control. Ultimately, that should not be required because the control rests with Genie.
Right, and I'm not sure they've lost it.
No. But I mean, I don't even mean it specifically here. I just mean in general. Like, it's one of those things that, if nothing else, everybody needs to be cognizant of. I'm not even talking about fans. I'm just talking about everybody involved because I know I have had concerns before that Genie has not always been willing to take control of the organization in a way that an owner sometimes has to. Like, you want to have a light touch as an owner in ways where you're not getting in the way of progress. It is important for everybody to know that ultimately you are the one in charge. It doesn't mean that you're always going to be putting that stamp on everything or that you're going to go out of your way to always remind everyone that you're in charge. But for all of the problems that, say, the Dallas Mavericks have had over like the last decade, and you know, there's a lot of institutional, really toxic bleep that needs to get cleaned up over there. There's still no question that Mark Cuban, for better or for worse, is ultimately the guy in charge. And sometimes it feels like there is that question about whether Jeannie even feels like she's in charge.
I would say yes, but I just think she doesn't like making hard choices. She doesn't like making unpopular. Let me rephrase. She's made some hard choices. Firing her brother was a really hard choice.
Yes, it was.
A really difficult thing that she did. And I don't think people still appreciate exactly what it was that she was doing, because that was the arrangement that her father had set up. And, like, you know, it is a kind of a repudiation of the final work of her dad to fire Jim.
Yeah.
That was really hard.
Yes, it was.
And she deserves credit for it. I just think she doesn't like being unpopular. And being the owner of a team, particularly the owner of a team like the Lakers, is a job where you're never gonna be able to please everybody. And you have to put up with a certain amount of that kind of bad PR. I don't think she's terribly comfortable, like, being out front in that kind of way. She's not like a wallflower, obviously. You read all this stuff about, you know, her as a governor in the NBA's, you know, kind of structure of voices and all that. She is, you know, again, not a wallflower. I just don't think that's behind closed door stuff. And I don't think she's super comfortable being like a Mark Cuban style public face. And I don't even think she needs to be.
Oh, I don't either.
But I just think that's partially why she leans on people that she knows and all that. I mean, I agree with you. I am not entirely sure how good she is at this. I absolutely believe sort of her heart is in the right place and she wants the right stuff for the team. I'm just not sure how great a CEO that she is of this particular company. It's a lot of hard work.
Look, she was, by all accounts, when her dad was the ultimate shot caller, Jim was with Mitch, the guys running basketball, and Jeannie was running business. She was, by all accounts, terrific at her job. And she was extremely well-respected around the league. So it's not that she is not, that she's incapable or anything like that, or that she's been, from the beginning, installed somewhere where she doesn't belong. That's not the case at all. But this is a very different gig from the one she had before.
All right. Well, we didn't even get to the free agency fund, which we could do for later in the week. And I'm sure more is going to come out of this. We don't even know exactly the extent of Phil's involvement here, but you hear Phil, you hear Magic, you hear, you know, Kurt, you hear, none of this is going to make Lakers fans feel good about any of this, or better, I should say.
It's such an uncertain place right now for the organization. And it would be very comforting for fans to see some type of sign of they're doing things a little bit more like the teams that have been more successful over the course of the last decade. And, you know, that championship notwithstanding, and it obviously counts, it's been largely
failed. Two playoff seasons in the last decade.
Yeah. So
that's what they got.
I get why something like Phil Jackson being an advisor just doesn't give you confidence in where this is headed. Even if
are we rethinking how we've done things? Are we trying to find the flaws in
our
processes?
Are we learning from what hasn't gone
and learn from them? Exactly right. All right. Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Again, thanks to everybody for subscribing to that. And we will keep. We got some. We'll talk about a potential free agent who has left the door open to coming back that isn't Russell Westbrook, and some fun thought exercises coming up as the week goes on. And we'll see everybody next time.